Welcome to the Future Era Podcast. My name is Baxter. Thank you for pressing play. The Future Era Podcast is a podcast where I share my thoughts. I'm a hoop dance movement teacher of the last 10 years. I've been doing it for 16 years, and I travel around and I teach people, sort of my take on hoop dance. I use movement as a way to connect to my inner conversation with what's going on, and these podcasts are a reflection of my teachings, and I kind of combine something I do in my teaching where I play music and then speak over it. If you want to hear just the music, I usually put a playlist up of that, and I'm happy to do so. Today's music is David Block. His project is called The Human Experience. His music is just wonderful. I featured it in my Burning Man podcast last week, one of the songs, and it just got me thinking that I should do a whole episode with this guy because his library is awesome, and he's got to be the hardest working man in the music business right now. It seems like every time I check in with his Facebook or his social media, he is somewhere in a festival, and he seems to be walking the walk, which I always respect. He's not just talking it, he's doing it. And one of his specialties is that you'll hear today is he works in collaboration with a lot of other artists and brings his sound and their sound together or helps them find their sound. And it's just, it's really great stuff. So I'm excited to use it. Thank you so much for making it with me to episode 13. This episode is all about reentry, not just from Burning Man, but from the festival world, and not just from the festival world, but from the summer, getting ready for fall. So thank you, and on to episode 13. Welcome to the Future Hero Podcast. Thank you for pressing play. My name is Baxter, and I come in peace. I am not here to screw with your head or change the way you feel, but just to maybe help provide a container of a positive 30 minutes to an hour or whatever time we have together. What I believe in outside of myself is constantly changing, but one thing that's remained constant over the last few years is that I believe, with capital B, deep in my heart, capital H heart, that you have access within you to a light of understanding through a lens of love. Through a source of energy of love, and that you have access to that, and that when you allow yourself and open to that access and then bring what it tells you into the world, that you're doing good work. And even as noble as that sounds, I know that sometimes we get tired. Sometimes that even the best and brightest and most altruistic among us can run out of a little fuel sometimes, and so this podcast is just meant to help those people. I mean, I'd like to think it's meant to help everyone, but nothing really is that universal. There's certain songs that just speak to some of us more than others, and I just want to encourage all the light walkers out there, all the people that are just doing it. And you know who you are, and you might even be beat up by who you are. Beat down by who you are, but there's a guy in North Carolina that's pulling for you. Because I'm trying to see the bigger picture, and as much as I believe in policy, I believe that every significant change, every meaningful, lasting change, starts within the sea change of a human heart. And so I'm more on that side of connecting to those of you walking your light, that have made that connection to love, and you're trying to put it into the world, and sometimes you're elated by the process and it's beautiful. And other times you're made lonely as hell, lost and confused in the process. And let alone the traps of the world, but there's also the traps of your own ego. And most of you are wise enough to see those traps. But keep going. Keep reaching. Keep trying, no matter how hard it is, because as dramatic as it sounds, we need you. We need you. I'm just one man and one opinion, but there's a lot of half-opened people out there. There's a lot of half-bloomed people out there. And there's some part of them that either stop the blooming process by restricting it or not believing it, or they stopped it because they didn't think it was worth it. And it's worth it. It's very worth it. And I believe with everything in my heart that you're listening to the call and you putting that call into action. However that happens, as part of this beautiful process of the world moving and evolving and growing around us. That the seasons come and go, and that's a stability. But the variance is brought in by you. The nuance is brought in by you. The spore, the mutant gene. You are the delivery vehicle. So however down you may be, or however elated you may be, keep going. Keep going. Doesn't that sound good? Again, this is Human Experience. If you don't know his work, you might want to familiarize yourself. It's just beautiful. He's got such a wide range because he works with so many different people. So this episode is all about re-entry. And I'll admit that re-entry was first introduced to me by Burning Man, because you go to Burning Man and it's such an intense experience. Just the environment and the people and the travel and everything is just such a moment. And because it's 7 days and most people stay out there that long, because it's that long, you shift. You shift into that city of Burning Man for a while. And then when it's time to leave, a lot of people refer to it as going back to the default world. Once I started teaching hoop dance, and I do in my workshops, I try to build this container of love, this container of authenticity and of openness, which are two very important things in my life right now. And when we're talking about walking towards the light, that's part of it for me. Because I really do believe in my visions and in my connection to that. I think a world of open, authentic people may not be 100% peaceful, but it'll be 100% better. And so what I try to do in my workshops is use hoop dance to find that authentic voice and to give people the courage to speak with it, to sing with it, to move with it. And so we create this container over 3 days. And then we have to leave that container and go back to the world. Nice. We have to go back to the world that set up the condition that made us want to go to the workshop or go to Burning Man or go to the festivals in the first place. And so for many people, electively or not, there's a line between their ideality, which is a festival, Burning Man, a workshop, some event, a yoga retreat, and then what they call the default world. And then when they go back into the default world, a lot of people call that process, myself included, re-entry. Now, I want to say from the beginning, before I do a whole podcast about re-entry and how you can deal with it, I just want to say that the ultimate enlightenment, of course, would be that there is no line between your ideality and your reality. And that's the enlightenment that I think we should all be striving towards. And if you're already there, you're probably an artist. And more power to you. And keep going, and congratulations. But for the rest of us, we're in a process of trying to merge our reality with our ideality. And in this case, I'm going to say reality is the world, the environment of your current self. And your ideality is like the environment of your ideal self. So we're not talking about your ideality would be a world filled with swimming pools and attractive people, but it would be whatever world would create the ideal you. So we have this line between that world that creates the ideal you and the real world. And for a lot of people, the real world is what makes them not the ideal them. And so a lot of times there is a protection between the two worlds and a wall. At Burning Man, this goes on constantly with people trying to protect the ideals of Burning Man by understandably limiting the influences of the real world. So that environment kind of becomes free. It remains sort of reality or world problem free. Of course, that doesn't completely happen. There's certain things about human nature that just make it hard, like stealing and lying and things like that. But there are less difficult things that they can handle to protect these two worlds. So if you're not enlightened and you haven't gotten to the ultimate point where your ideality and your reality are the same thing, and you're like the rest of us, negotiating the space between the two can be a little bit tricky, and that's what this podcast is about. Wow, loving this track. So, keeping these two things separate so that they may one day merge into one. For a lot of people, the space of traveling to their idealities is the summer. It's festivals, it's yoga retreats, it's workshops, it's vacations with the kids, it's doing things. And you can have such a pleasurable time when you are in an ideality, because you experience yourself and you experience the other people in their ideality. So it's kind of this world where everybody for 3 days, 7 days, however long, is kind of acting in the environment that encourages a free expression of their essence. And it can be so, you just feel sometimes like you're this bird that's finally been let out of a cage and is allowed to feel wind and is allowed to fly and flap its wings. And so you can look at the default world as going back into the cage, going back into the cage of ritual behavior, of repeat, of recycled patterns. And to be honest with you, it can be melancholic. It can be a bummer. And so, like any transition, if we can ease into it, that's a little bit better. And one way that we can ease into the transition is to take with us, before we ease into the transition, to spend some time in the recollection of memory from our time and ideality. In burning culture, this is called decompression. And not necessarily the parties that we throw that are called decom, but the decompression period after a burn is usually a time where you kind of reflect on what just happened. And a lot of decompression happens on the actual journey home because it takes so long to leave Burning Man. But for those of us that are going to a festival or going to a workshop, we don't have much travel time. You know, it might be a few hours or even just 30 minutes back home. And then there we are. And when we get in there, one way that we can begin to merge the two worlds is to think about the positives of our ideality, to think of that as not just a vacation, but a potential lesson for us. When were we feeling the best? Not in some altered state kind of way, at least not some chemically altered state way, but when did we feel, whether we were on something or not, when did we feel whole? Was there a moment in that when you felt a freeness? And to remember those feelings and to kind of like a story or a movie that just you watch again and again, or a book you reread, that you study it, like what was it about that made it so great? Why was I so happy? I'll give you a for instance, for me one time at Burning Man after I was traveling home and decompressing, and I was thinking about, I had a great burn that year, and I was thinking about what was it that made it so great. And that particular year, it was company, because I had been this just militant loner. Nobody tells me what to do. I hang out wherever I want to hang out. And that particular burn, I hung out with my campmates and hung out in company, and it was so rich. And I really realized that a long time ago, I had developed as a kid this identity around being a loner, because it kind of protected me from any sort of friend rejection. And even though that was something that, the psychology of an 8-year-old or whatever began and then reinforced when he was 15, it had kind of remained up into my 20s and then now into my 30s. And I realized, well, this is not a grown man's take. Because I do believe in science, and I do believe in studying nature, and you don't see too many lone wolf human beings in the course of history. In fact, we are a tribal animal, and we collect in bunches, and so it's kind of this illusion, or at least this benefit of the technological world that we have, that we could even fathom the idea that we could get by in life by ourselves. So when I was sitting back and I'm reflecting on what made my Burning Man experience so great, I was like, I realize now that I need my ideality. I need other people to be the ideal me, that I have been avoiding other people because I was afraid they'd say stupid things, or I was avoiding people because I thought that they wouldn't understand me, or I wouldn't want to understand them, or they'd think I was boring, or I'd think they were boring. And I really realized that interaction was woven deep into my DNA, and that for me to be the ultimate guy, my ultimate guy, like not the, but like my ultimate self, that when I felt my freest, it was in the company of good friends and laughter and of fun. So think back, even now, think back. Enjoy this awesome song. Love this flavor. Think back to the good that just happened this summer, to the good that just happened at your burn, or the good that happened at festivals or your yoga retreat. And if you didn't get to do any of those things, then let's just start at January. From January to September, what was awesome? Yeah. Now remember, you're trying to use what felt good, not so much what you thought should have been good or that you spent a lot of money on. So therefore, you feel like even if it sucked for you, that you should have enjoyed it more. But like real moments where you were actually in it, where you weren't having to justify those moments. Those moments in the, you know, in the spirit world, in the New Age world, myself and others sometimes talk about alignment. You know, that like when you have these feelings of alignment with the world around you, that you feel a part of it, you feel like one with the all, if that makes sense. You feel aligned. And it's a beautiful feeling. And a lot of us feel like it's a teaching feeling, that like once you, when you get there into that alignment, however mysterious it is and elusive it is to find, that you can sort of look to see what things came into alignment. Like for me, it was company. And when you start to put together the things that came into alignment for you, you can look to see if there's any possible way that the factors that were putting you into alignment in that ideality could possibly be shifted over into your reality. For instance, were you relaxed in your ideality? Of course, probably you were. I hope you were. If you were relaxed in your ideality, what factors contributed to you being relaxed? And if it was that you were relaxed because you didn't have your kids around, that's a tough one. But maybe that's an indicator that you might need, for the benefit of your kids, to have a little bit more me time. You know, to see if you can create a tiny little ideality within your week where you go to movement class, you go to ecstatic dance or whatever, so that you have some chance to take a taste of that freedom. If freedom from responsibility is what helped you feel aligned, then is there a way that you could squeeze in just a little bit of responsibility free time, just an hour somewhere? Is it possible? This is the kind of thinking that will ease this transition and benefit us all. Now, there's a different kind of study, which kind of relates to my podcast being called Future Hero, that I want to speak to. And we're already getting close on time, so I want to make sure that I get a chance to discuss this fully. Today, when I sit down to do this podcast, and as I'm recording, there's just this big part of me that wants to encourage all of you freaks out there that over the summer had some crazy, profound thought about what you wanted to do with your life in service to the other lives around you. I think for some of you, it's possible that in the space of your ideality, however long or brief it was, or you know whether it was scattered over multiple moments, that in that, some of you felt a sense of purpose. And I'm reluctant to use the word purpose because it's been appropriated by so many different belief systems and ideologies that I don't necessarily want to endorse right now by using the word purpose. But I think it's unavoidable that as you get older, no matter what you're trying to fit into, whether it's the cosmology or the physical world or the world of humans, that there's a question of your purpose of what is my talent here and how can I put that talent on wheels to move me and my people forward. And I bet some of you have some crazy, completely unrealistic, but totally beautiful ideas out there. My belief is that there's something to the emerging of those ideas, and the idea itself might be the first drawing, but that there's something to it, that there's a seed, and it may not be the first, second, or third drawing. The seed's bigger than that. That's just the first couple of branches it threw up. Somewhere along its life, if you follow that seed, nurture that seed, that it will eventually take root and grow. And it may not grow to be the tree that you visualized over the summer, but it could be a tree that bears fruit that you never saw coming. Fruit that could help other people get through a time of despair or discouragement. Or maybe you had an idea that will help people get medicine. Maybe you had an idea that will relieve suffering. And maybe your ego helped you form the idea, but the more you sit with that idea, the less you'll get away from your ego. So don't worry about that. The ego is tangled up in almost everything that you do, so don't feel as though that's some corrupting force. Don't let the trip of like, I was creating crazy land, I was thinking all this crazy stuff that I could do this. Believe it or not, that's just the ego sort of tripping and making sure that it's got a hold of your dreams. But what was the dream? Because the dream might be that temporary, momentary purpose that you're looking for. Maybe it's not, maybe we've been looking at it wrong. Like maybe we were looking for the lifelong plan, but maybe we just need the next 6 months plan. And maybe that crazy idea that you had in festival land or at that retreat or coming back from your summer or from that vacation, that momentary thought you had, maybe that was a flash of the greater you. Now, getting back to this reentry thing, you had this great idea, it inspired you, you knew it came from your ideal self and the environment of your ideality. And now, what are you going to do with it? Because if you can come up with something to do with it, there is a very good chance that it will ease your reentry. In fact, it may change and speed up the pace in a good way. Bringing that ideality to your reality. And so if there was any sort of purpose, like if you had a crazy idea, what was motivating that? And then you can create from that purpose your work, your capital W work emerges from your sense of purpose. And that's why idealities are so critical. To be enjoyed and to be learned from. I challenge you to not just talk it, but to walk it. To start your work, to form it, to make your work. We can't see the experience you had. I hope you understand that. But we can see your work. We can't see your purpose, but we can see your work. Let's do it. However crazy it is, every great idea started as some lunatic's thought. And that lunacy that your ego is telling you you had out there is brilliance, potentially to a future generation. Maybe just to a future generation of one human being, but that's a significant thing to do. What's your work? What crazy idea did you have? And is there any way that you can bring that into work, into practice that we can see, that, like a sculpture that we can climb on your work, that you'll find this purpose? And it's perhaps not going to be revealed, although that would be beautiful, in a complete 12-step plan. Like, it may just be that you have this crazy idea, and your work is like, we don't know how to get there. And you sit with your work, and you're like, I don't even know what you are right now. And the work says, just do me. Just work. Just make one phone call. Just research one thing. Just call one person. Just do one thing, the work says to you, and you make me. Just take one step, and you bring me. You birth me into this life. It takes just one thing, just one step. You don't have to tell me what kind of thing I'm going to grow up to be or what my life will be. You don't have to prepare me for every ego blow that's going to come my way. The work says just birth me, just start me. Just give me an opportunity. I want to end with something that happened to me at Burning Man, and then maybe we'll get a sense of what I'm saying and you'll understand why I'm so passionate about it. My 2006, I went to Burning Man, which again is a festival here in the States. What's in the States, but it's a worldwide event, so people from everywhere. And I went, and I had been hooping for some time, and I guess at that point I'd been hooping like 5 or 6 years, and I had just really started to teach classes, I started in 2005 teaching classes, and I had just started to go around and to travel and teach, and I had had a partner with me, and my partner and I had gone to Burning Man, but we were not romantic partners, but I kind of wished that we were. And it became apparent through that burn that that was not really going to happen. And I realized that I had tied this passion of teaching and had wrapped it up in this person. And then throughout the course of the week, I was let down by many factors. And I remember on Saturday night of the burn being pissed off. I was pissed off in my ideality, because I had, instead of accepting what was there, I had wanted to bring in this make-believe into my ideality, this thing, and it just had become so clear that I had been disillusioned. And so I had been wearing this costume for the burn, the actual burning of the man on Saturday night. I'd been wearing this costume that just hadn't resonated with me. It was this weird, like, I had dressed, I don't know why, I just thought it would be cool to dress like a desert holy man or something. It was so cheesy and horrible. Then it was like I had borrowed heavily from Muslim clothing, and so I was wearing this very restrictive thing. It looked cool, but it was just, and it was kind of a misappropriation, honestly, I apologize, but it was Burning Man, and I was thought I was going to dress as my ideal self or to bring out my ideal self. And instead, what happened was I just got pissed off. And so I ran back to my tent and I took off this garb and I grabbed this ninja wear that I had been wearing all week. And it wasn't really like ninja wear. It was more like samurai wear. Like it was this actual martial art thing. I had really not understood Burning Man. And I had gone out and basically costume shopped a little bit better than Halloween, but not much. And so I grabbed this sort of samurai thing and I threw it on and I was pissed, y'all. I was like, you know, this burned, you know. And so I ran out to Deep Playa with me and my hoop and my bike and this ninja outfit on. And I get out to 10 o'clock and I can't remember exactly which camp it was now. I know the story would be better, but I think it was like, I don't know, some Flying Lotus or something like that. And there was a space outside of the venue where you could hoop and people could kind of see, but you weren't like, you know, showing off or making them watch you or anything. And so I just put the hoop on and the music was pretty good. It was actually kind of had like a little bit of a hip hop flavor. I found out later it was Bass Nectar, but I didn't know him at that time. I'm not really familiar with him now. So if you're a bass head, more power to you. I don't know that much about him, but he played a great set if it was him on 2006. And so I started hooping around and I was just so furious and distracted that I decided to lower my blindfold, which is something that I do, but I didn't really do it so much back then in public. It was a practice tool. So I lower my blindfold and I start hooping and I'm pissed. And so the hoop is just whirling around me, just like, and in my head, it's just going to sound crazy, but you know, I've evolved since then, but in my head, I was angry. The hoop is just whirling around me. I'm blindfolded. I can hear Bass Nectar behind me. And I start going, fuck this. Fuck this. I am me. I am Baxter. I am enough. I am enough. And my hoop just starts to whirl around me. And I know it sounds crazy and like completely egotistical, but it actually wasn't really egotistical. It was like my future hero was like grabbing me from this hole and like pulling it out and saying like, you have value. But it was an angry expression of that. So I, you know, I apologize, but it was just like, fuck that. I'm enough. I'm enough. I can be a teacher myself. I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody. I can be enough. People will want to learn from me. And I'm hooping so fast and it's going, the hoop is just going crazy. And all of a sudden, I'm blindfolded, I'm hooping like crazy, and all of a sudden, I hear this person yell, sick! Sick! You are fucking sick! Now, if you're not familiar with the States, she was complimenting me. And when that drunk, enlightened angel said that to me while I was blindfolded, while the hoop is whirling around me and my body is just exploding with this energy, and my mind is releasing from the self-imposed burden that I had put on myself of expectation. Well, it was like I was a golf ball on a tee and she just sent me into outer space. And I soared into my ideality where I was like free of all the excuses of can't. And I just soared. And for a second, well, more than that, I don't know how long it lasted, but for a while in that hoop dance that night, I soared out and was like away from all of the excuses of why I couldn't be, and was in all the reasons that I was. And it was a powerful I am moment. And when I went back to the default world, I found myself reaching out for that friend and realizing that when I was fully opened, I didn't need to reach out for anybody. So I came back from that burn and I decided to start teaching hoop dance as hard as I could, as nationally as I could, to as many different places as I could. And I have been doing that for 10 years now. And it has been the single best technique I have found for merging my ideality with my reality. If I can go around the country and world and teach people to find their authenticity through hula hoop dance, then what isn't allowed to happen? What other crazy shit? Is your idea that crazy? Whatever it is, it can be done. And it may not turn out the way that you wanted, but it will be the best answer to the hardest question that you've ever asked, which is, what is my purpose? Thank you for listening. My name is Baxter. See you next week.